the Doctor.
It's Clobberton.
Engage.
Shazam!
Chevron 7, lock.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight.
Kawabunga.
Welcome, everybody, to issue 46 of the Heroes Asylum. I want to thank everybody for downloading and subscribing. We appreciate it. Thank you guys for checking out the YouTube channel. We are doing some more testing over there. But want to give a big shout out to everybody for it, and happy post-Thanksgiving. Heroes Asylum here. We're like Thanksgiving. Just your daddy's not drunk and your mama's not crying. I'm going to go ahead and throw this over to Kane. Man, how are you doing?
Ah, man, what a busy, busy weekend. Damn. Lots of stuff came down. Lots of stuff.
Kane, what the hell was that, man? Are you there? Kane, hello?
No, this is FFU2. I'm going to send some protocol droid, all right? Kane's no longer here. I hit him with a spectrum out of service rate. He'll be back. Got a problem with that?
All right, man. All right. Just don't point that thing over here, man. As long as Kane's coming back, it's just a temporary thing. We'll go ahead and continue with the show. You can chime in kind of whenever you want. Just point that thing somewhere else. And that little astromech that's running around here, tell him to stop eyeballing my leg. That's all I got to say on that one. But we'll go on. Yeah, whatever. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started like we always do every week. We jump into what we call the Admissions Ward.
News from the Admissions Ward.
All right, folks. Well, here we are for the Admissions Ward once again. Always a joy. We will miss Kane this week, unfortunately, but, you know, we do have a sit-in. So this week, really, it's a short week. Not much went on. The only thing I see that I found that really was a breaking or worth talking about was that there was a news that, or rumor mill that came out that Michael B. Jordan, from Creed fame, from Black Panther fame as Killmonger, had a sit-down meeting with Warner Brothers this week to discuss movie possibilities. And, of course, the rumor mill's just kicked into full gear because there has always been this talk of him going in and playing Superman. I have stated my opinion about this. I couldn't tell you how many times, but the rumor is that there is a Superman character from one of the multiverses. I can't remember which number of the multiverse, but a Von L, who is basically a, I don't want to say, he was based and inspired by a president, Barack Obama, and that this, if you really look at the character in the books, you can see the likeness of it, but that he was, you know, a Superman character and with those powers, but did his, you know, took his powers and used them for good, but then he eventually became president. Now, I like the idea of a Von L. The big thing I guess I would have some issues with is that you have to explain the multiverse, and they haven't touched on the multiverse at all. And you really, to explain on and to delve into the multiverse in the DC universe, they have explained it in the CW series. But in the movies world, it's going to take a lot, and Superman is really needed for that. Just to take Superman and change his color just for color, you know, diversity's sake, to me, I think is a wrong thing to do. I think it's a slap in the face of the character. I think it's a slap in the face of the actor that plays him. And I think it's a slap in the face to all other black superheroes that are in existence that should get their time in the spotlight, that should have their story told, and so that the public can see it. I've been a big advocate of the milestone character icon. He is now a DC character, so he's prime and ready to go in. Static Shock is another one, a younger character. We have the Green Lantern. I know they're talking about a Green Lantern movie, or not movie, I'm sorry, TV show coming through HBO with a TV series there for Green Lantern. Perfect vehicle for Michael B. Jordan there would be to, you know, go ahead and end up playing John Stewart, and I think that would be perfect for them. There are these great, rich characters, I think, that should be touched on before Hollywood pulls another lazy card out of their back pockets and going, oh, we're just going to change the sex or change the character or the color or race of a certain character. And I just, again, I'm not a big fan of that. I think more can be done. Those characters can be grown. So hopefully this is maybe just it. I do know months and months ago there was a interview with Michael, and he was talking about how he would like to do something in DC, but he had also said he didn't want to do a Superman. He wanted to do something original. So hopefully this is just a rumor mill going crazy, people, you know, picking up what was said a year ago or 2 years ago, and that maybe he did go in there and have a talk of maybe playing an Icon or to play, you know, a John Stewart. There's so many out there that he can really delve into and mold into his own franchise in a way. So hopefully we'll see more of that down the road. And that is really all I had for Admissions Award. So we're going to go ahead and get out of this. Like I said, it's a short one. FFU2, you got anything to say about this? Or are we good?
Nah, I think you're kind of right, yeah. I think he should go ahead and play something else. But, you know, I'm not a DC guy. I'm more Marvel. I'd prefer to see him playing, you know, one of the better characters on Marvel.
All right, folks. Well, let's get out of this. So what I want to talk about now is we're just doing a breakdown of a couple of shows that came out this week, ones I know I've been enjoying, we've talked about week after week. First one is Titans, the conclusion of Titans from DC Universe, a streaming service offered by DC, which next year will be joining and teaming up with HBO Max. So you'll be able, if you guys aren't a DC subscriber, you will be able to catch these shows that are coming out on HBO Max once that drops. I think they were March or April, so those are something to look forward to next year. But the season finale of Titans was different. I was happy with it. I can't say I was ecstatic about it. There were some things I wish they might have done differently, but for the most part, yeah, I was pretty happy with it. The introduction, finally, we've gotten a Nightwing, and see the costume looks amazing. What they've done with his kendo sticks as well, very, very cool. The growth of a lot of the characters has you can see it in this episode, especially with Raven, how there is a death in the family, and she chooses to go with that person's body to where their resting place is. So it's splitting up the group, but it also kind of you merge them together again with Hawk and Dove, not rejoining the relationships, but rejoining as Hawk and Dove, not as boyfriend and girlfriend, and the way they were as lovers. You see Superboy coming in, Connor, and as well as the reemergence in of Jericho, and seeing Rose come around. Jason Todd is still out there brooding, as Jason Todd should be. So I'm hoping to, you know, something will come around. I'm thinking next year we might actually see the death in the family, for the historic, you know, Robin dying. I think that'll come next season, that they may have to deal with that repercussion as well. But I can definitely see that coming down the road. So yeah, check it out, guys. Please do yourself a favor if you're any sort of fan of this type of forum. Please do yourself a favor. It's a great show. DC Universe is a great product as well, because not only did they release, or they did the finale for that, they just started a brand new cartoon coming out. And I know a couple of weeks ago I was making the comments that I am just Harley Quinn and Jokered out. I swear DC did it to me again. They brought me back into the Harley Quinn and Joker world with the animated series of Harley Quinn. And it's great. Not for kids. If anybody's got children, do not let your children watch this. This is a very adult-themed cartoon. The language is extremely hard. But it shows that the moment of when Harley finally just says, you know, enough's enough. Ivy, her best friend, Poison Ivy, sits her down, tries to have a heart-to-heart talk with her, and it finally takes a good, hard heartbreak for Harley to realize the Joker's bad for her, that he's not there for her, doesn't want her there. But just the relationship growing between Harley and Ivy has been great. I think it's Fred, the plant, is icing on the cake for this. And everything I understand is we're going to see more and more of these characters. We will eventually see the we will eventually see, the Legion of Doom coming around. I do know Clayface is supposed to show up. I believe I saw that the Riddler does pop in this one, which is, I thought the Riddler was great. Batman is just deadpan, perfect, almost a touch of Adam West to it. So you guys need to check that out. But great, great cartoon. And the voice actors are amazing. And I think Alan does a pretty spot on job for Joker. Not he's not trying to copy anybody. He puts his own take on it, which I'm happy with. And then after that, we had the fourth episode of The Mandalorian, the show that reunited Star Wars fans for once. I think it really started on Force Awakens. And then it definitely, like, the wedge became even greater. The divide grew during Last Jedi, that the Star Wars fans really became a divided group. We used to be a very united front. You did have your movie and your book and your expanded universe, you know, split. But that was a minor split, something we could all deal with. But no, I think The Last Jedi really put a wedge in between a lot of the Star Wars fans. But it's great to see that Disney can put out a product that joins us all together, that we can deal, you know, we can move on from the fact that we feel Disney has killed it. I think Disney just needed to find their footing in the Star Wars universe, and they did this by simply copying what George Lucas did. If nobody has seen The Mandalorian, please do yourself a favor. It's great writing. But what they did, and I can see it as I'm watching it, is they actually captured the essence of what George Lucas did. He took a familiar story, a familiar concept, and put a new cover on it. You know, he did, you know, if anybody's familiar with Star Wars, he took the thoughts and the writings of Joseph Campbell, the hero's journey. He looked back and at the Knights of the Old, the Round Table, and those kinds of stories that we all know because we grew up with those. We were taught those as a kid. The Greek mythologies we were all taught during middle school, and you know, those were the hero's journey of some sort, and that's pretty much what George did for Star Wars. Then the prequels were there to kind of fill in the pre-story of it, and then these sequels just didn't follow that, didn't have that familiarity that we liked so much. And with Mandalorian, Dave Filoni and has really, you know, I know he's one of the main writers, and I am drawing a blank. John Favreau, sorry, I almost forgot John Favreau's name, but John Favreau and him, you know, together, because they're executive producers here, but John is the main writer for it, and he literally went back to the original. He went back to a story we're familiar with, just put a new cover on it, and he really, what he's done is he has taken some of the old westerns that we grew up with, that we saw from our grandparents, from my age at least. My grandparents, you know, were big western fans. And this generation, in my generation, really weren't big western fans. You know, we've had a few here that we've liked. You know, The Hateful Eight, The Unforgiven, Young Guns, things like that. But there was a genre, a full big westerns of John Wayne, originally Clint Eastwood. And there were these stories that were just told about a lone gunman coming in and helping out people just because he sort of had a small heart. You know, he had a little bit of a heart for the, you know, and felt for these people. And that's what we're seeing in The Mandalorian, basically, is a retelling of a lot of those stories. And that this episode was just a reminder of that he comes across, you know, he's out hiding. He has the kid with him, Baby Yoda, who has broken the internet again. And they are out trying to, you know, stay away from the guild, the Bounty Hunters Guild, as well as from the remnants of the Empire. We don't know who the gentleman's name is, but the client that we were introduced to in the first two episodes, that they go off and they're trying to find a backwater podunk, you know, planet, and they land on this planet, and wouldn't you know it, the locals need some help. But the locals are very similar to either a very small western town, or I kind of, when I first saw it, it reminded me very much of an Indian village, how they're living off the land. And I was like, okay, this is the western, you know, the cowboy that comes in to help, you know, the locals. So it was a very good show. I love the stories, love where they're taking the show. I cannot wait for more and more. And I love the simple fact I have to wait. It is sort of refreshing to not get everything up front. But I have now something to look forward to at the end of the week. So they have a very happy. Hope you guys are enjoying it. Let me know, guys. Let us know here on Heroes Asylum what you guys think of these shows. We do have our Facebook page, our Heroes Asylum, Tinder page, our Twitter page, and our Snapchat page. So we are out there, guys. Just let us know. Throw us a like, throw us a link. Drop a comment on there. Tell us what you're thinking about it. Tell me where you think Kane freaking went off to. God knows where he's off to now. But hopefully the Spectrum out of service rate will bring him back here shortly. So we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and jump into a section we call Legends of the Long Box to talk about our recent reads.
Hey, yo, you don't want to talk to me about The Mandalorian? All right, that's fine, but I'm going to tell you my opinion. I don't care if you know, I don't know if you want to hear it or not. I don't care if you want to hear it. But yeah, I think it's an okay show. They got rid of the best character first episode. Got taken on like a little bitch. What I think they need to bring in a little bit more aggression. A little bit more deaths. And more androids. Definitely more androids.
All right, thank you, FFU2. Yeah, I really definitely wanted to hear your fucking opinion. This is the Legends of the Long Box section. We sit down, talk about latest releases, up and coming releases that are, you know, coming down the pike for a comic book. So that way you guys can go to your local store, go to your local comic book shop, wherever you can get them. Comicology, I'm a big fan of that. So that way you guys can just go out and check out some of the latest reads. We have a few. Well, I have a few. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what Kane had this week, so I can't really speak to that. But so what I had is I had a couple. The first one was actually something near and dear to my heart with Picard, the new show coming out. IDW has actually released a series. It's a very short series. I think, if I can remember correctly, I don't think it was many. I think it was like three or four, if I can remember off the top of my head, of kind of a prequel. This shows that it picks up years later. He's now no longer the Admiral of the Enterprise. He's on a new ship. He's talking to LaForge about some of the new cadets that are coming out. And it's called Star Trek Picard Countdown, and it's one of three. So, yeah, one of three. So you guys can get out there. Great, great artwork on this one. It shows the different styles of suits that they're wearing, like the uniforms for them. They definitely changed them up, made them look a little bit cooler, gave them more piping. So if anybody's familiar with how the Next Generation and on, they had the different kinds of piping they did on the suits, for it's the black and the red. But it was good story. Introduction, so very short, sweet. It's Picard is on his way to Romulan space to meet with some people there. And one of the planets he visits has one of the facilities he visits has, I guess, is basically for their Romulan wine. It's their fruit that they grow it with. And, of course, it kind of takes him back to his childhood being on the vineyard. And it just kind of does some reminiscing for him there. So looking forward to the next one, next two, to see where they're going to go. What kind of a journey are we going to go with him to build into the show that, you know, we still really have no information about at all. So hopefully we'll get some more, as this builds up. Looks like it's a monthly run, just to build up, because I believe that comes out. I think that the Picard comes out April or May of next year. So, I think this is going to be a perfect lead up into it if anybody's truly interested in reading or watching the Picard show. So make sure you guys do check that out. Even if you're non-comic book fans, if you're really interested in it, they do these in the comic book runs to kind of like fill in the gaps. That's where a lot of the Star Wars stuff, came from. A lot of the Legends stuff that we know of was filler in between the movies. And also sometimes when they were releasing them, they would build up. So let's see. Hopefully that'll lead directly into it. My next one was for the new X-Men series. I know I've been talking about the new X-Men series a lot. And reason is it's a really great story. A lot of good information on it, or not good information, good storylines, the growth, the changes in characters, the characters they bring back also. I'm really impressed with it because they are able to resurrect some of the old X-Men, and not just the just X-Men, but also, you know, some of the Brotherhood of Mutants. And but the first one I read was the Marauders 2, which was a pretty good one. I'm liking the Marauders and Kitty Pryde. Unfortunately, they're kind of doing your old kind of staple for characters that are on the edge. You can see her. She's through most of it. She's got tape over her nose. Likes to drink. So she's getting that edgy character cliches that you see. But you see them attacking a ship to get the. It looks like they have some supplies on there that they want. As they're doing this, her team you have Iceman, you have Pyro, you have Storm, and they're you know working together to as part of the Marauder crew. You also have her dragon, Lockheed. He's on here as well, which is fun to see Lockheed. I was always a big fan of his. But you see, like, you know, she's protecting the crew of these ships and helping them out. We do get introduced a little bit more to Bishop. We're still not sure what and why Bishop's here. He's just pops in once in a while, but during this one, he decides that he wants to join the crew and be part of the Marauders. We do see that Pyro does go end up getting a face tattoo. More reminiscent, not reminiscent of so much of Mike Tyson, but maybe more of like a skull-style tattoo on his face. We do see that Sebastian Shaw and just drew a huge blank on her name. Sebastian Shaw and Emma Frost. I'm sorry. Wow, I just can't believe I drew that. But they're part of the organization for the Hellfire Trading Company. And on the Hellfire Trading Company, there, you know, Sebastian is the Black King, and the Emma Frost is the White Queen, and they've got a hierarchy, and there's supposed to be a Red Queen, and that, and at the very end, we discover that Kitty Pryde has now joined them as the Red Queen, and will slowly be introduced to their lieutenants and their bishops as we go on. But again, great story. I really like what they're doing with the new X-Men. There's a couple of books I'm not fans of for the new X-Men. One of them is The New Mutants. Not a big fan of that one. And Excalibur's okay. But really, the X-Men Marauders, and then, of course, the next one I'm going to discuss, X-Force, are ones that I'm really enjoying. Now, X-Force is part of the world where they are primarily taking place on actually the island of Krakoa during the mutant, you know, uprise. And what has happened is Xavier has been assassinated. They had a group of people that were able to come down from the skies, get down into the atmosphere of Krakoa, and just go straight after him. So right now what they're kind of working through is mourning the loss of Xavier, trying to figure out what to do. They are talks of that Xavier created several of these Cerebro helmets, and he placed them around the island. And when one dies, he dies. They're able to find another one. And Krakoa is able to bring life, you know, clone people. So we're not at that point yet where he's going to be cloned. But they have captured a couple of the assassins, and most of them have died. There's one left. He's barely hanging on there, and really, Jean and Wolverine want a piece of him. Wolverine just wants him to suffer. Jean's trying to find out exactly what happened, why this, you know, is taking place, who hired him, and there's really no understanding because they're a mix of humans and mutants, and they're not sure. But they were able to track down where they originated from. So Wolverine kind of goes off on his own, like good old Wolverine normally would. And he ends up meeting up at this facility with Omega Kid. And they break in and discover this is a place where they're cloning mutants and cloning humans with that basically like they're just fresh and clean minds. There's nothing in there, and they put in their programming. And so that's where we're left off with them. These creatures have all just come alive, and they're attacking them, and they break in. They're trying to run away from all these things. They break into a back room where they discover Domino is sitting in a stasis tube, half of a domino. She's been kind of eaten away, and that's where we're left at. Because the I think it was in number one, we discovered like Domino vanishes. We don't know what happened to her, and so we're thinking this is maybe where they're getting the information about Krakoa is through her. So hopefully we'll see what comes of that. But again, just good book. But both of these Marvel books, really good reads, good storylines going on. I do know Kane had the Infinite Crisis of a Dark Multi-Universe. He's going to go ahead and get that when he comes back next week. But that'll be the end of the Legends read for the day. Really need to get an outro for that. But what we're so right now, guys, that's the end of the show. I do apologize. Really, the whole joke of the FFU2. Kane, it sounds like the area where Kane is living at, the internet has been down, and it will be down for a little bit. So we still wanted to get some product out for you guys, something to listen to. I know it's a short show. It's probably probably going to end up about 30 minutes. But give you guys some news and what's going on. We will have, when Kane comes back, we will have a complete breakdown. I know we did like a little bit of a Crisis show about a month ago. You know, Kane has been preparing a full breakdown of Crisis. But with that show will show up on our YouTube channel because there's a lot of visual things that we got to show you guys on that. But make sure you guys do check out the Heroes Asylum websites, heroesasylum.com, where you can find links to the Facebook page, the Twitter page, Instagram page. I think I said Snapchat earlier in the show. We don't have a Snapchat page. It's just Instagram. And you can check us out there. You can also, on the Heroes Asylum page, you can go and see and find and download and subscribe to the Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies, which is where you guys will hear the Star Wars watch-alongs with Kane and I through most of them. We've just recently gotten our partner Steve-O. He's jumped in. He's been able to do the first Star Wars Empire, and we will release next week Force Awakens with him, so that'll be good. This week we're releasing the Return of the Jedi, which is just Kane and I covering that. But and then we will lead up to Rise of Skywalker, and that week we'll drop The Last Jedi, which actually sounds like that might be a bit of a heated conversation because we already got into a heated conversation during Force Awakens. I have a feeling The Return of the Jedi is going to be a interesting show, but hopefully that'll be out shortly as well. So if you guys have any questions, any concerns, please feel free to reach us at heroesasylum.com. Again, Facebook, post anything, share, get your friends to join in, you know, make it a bigger community. That's what we're looking for here. It's not about Kane and I getting on here and talking. We want a community to grow so that way we have people with the same interests. So from Kane, Captain Mike, he will be back next week, folks. So make sure you guys do get to the asylum. And you guys have a great week.